Please be seated. I know I've told the story before, but it's an important one for me, so forgive me if you've heard it. And besides, maybe you weren't here the first time I told it. But toward the end of my mother's life, which is some 12 years ago now, she was admitted to St. Martin's in the Pines nursing home in Birmingham. It is a wonderful Episcopal nursing home, and while such a decision to do that was difficult, we knew she was in good hands. And although the care was wonderful, there were numerous times where I'd receive a phone call that something had happened and I needed to come to Birmingham. I got one of those calls just before Christmas that year. My mother was being taken to the emergency room with some kind of infection, and I began that litany of getting ready to travel to Birmingham, a litany I'd grown to despise. It rained the whole way down, and my head was pounding by the time I got there. My mind was racing, trying to remember whether I'd done this or that, and whether I'd taken care of stuff at home and at the office, and whether I'd even bothered to pack a toothbrush. A nurse let me into the emergency area and pointed to the room where my mother was. I hated the fact that it had taken me some 3 hours to get there, and I felt terrible that she'd been alone for that long. But when I walked in the room, I realized she wasn't alone. When I walked into the room, there was a young girl sitting in a chair by my mother's bed. Her name was Jenny Bass. She was a social worker at the nursing home. Over the few weeks that my mother had been at St. Martin's, Jenny had kind of adopted her. She was incredibly kind. And when it became apparent that day that my mother was being sent to the hospital, Jenny followed the ambulance in her car and had stayed with my mother until I arrived. It wasn't her job. It wasn't a part of her job, but as she told me that night, it was something she felt like she had to do. You see, she explained to me that she'd gotten to know my mother on her admission to the nursing home and had really enjoyed getting to know her. Despite their age difference, they really had a lot in common. Jenny would stop by my mother's room each day just to check on things, and had noticed that over the prior couple of days, my mother had seemed more tired than usual. Jenny mentioned that to both the nurses and the doctor, and without it getting into all the details, that's what started the process of my mother being sent to the emergency room. That particular day, a nurse called Jenny to let her know that the transfer would be taking place and that she might want to come by to see my mother before she left. Now, Jenny was having one of those days that we all have from time to time. There was a little too much to do. She was feeling a little overwhelmed and was really, really probably too busy to do this. After all, this relationship that she'd formed with my mother wasn't really a part of her job. It was around noon when the nurse called, and Jenny had just sat down to have lunch. She thanked the nurse for the information and told her that she'd come by to see my mother when she finished her lunch. Jenny told me that she liked to read at lunchtime and had just started a book of devotionals for women. She had just sat down and found the place where she had left off, and she couldn't believe her eyes because the devotional for that particular day was called "When I Finish My Lunch." It was about how God is always calling us to be his eyes and hands and heart to those around us, and how many priceless, blessed moments we miss because there's so much that we allow to stand between us and God. The point of the devotional was that we as Christians are people of such good intentions, yet we allow so much of the trivia of life to get in the way, so that our good intentions seldom take the form of concrete action, and that we are missing out on so much of the good in life because of it. And for me, that's a lot of what today's gospel is all about. I'd venture to guess that many of you have never heard this gospel story. It doesn't always come up in the lectionary cycle. Jesus has begun his ministry, especially his ministry of healing. But today's text takes that ministry to a new level. He restores life. He restores life to the son of a widow. And for me, the setting of the story is important. I believe it to be one of those priceless, blessed, holy moments as described in Jenny's devotional. Jesus is on the move. His ministry is gaining momentum. Word has begun to spread about him. He's just preached the Sermon on the Mount, fed thousands with loaves and fishes. The crowds are everywhere. He is reaching celebrity status. And his schedule probably is quite busy. But on his way through Capernaum, he passes a funeral taking place. And he stops. And for me, that's a key part of the story. He stops. It seems so much of what Jesus has done up to this point has taken place in front of large crowds. He could have easily passed by this funeral procession. It was, after all, a widow with no other family that we know of. But Jesus didn't pass by. He seized the moment. He took concrete action, and he changed the world for one single person. You see, I think this story is important because it shows the uniqueness and the intimacy of Christ's ministry. And if that ministry had nothing for a poor widow, then what could it possibly have to offer to a hungry world? He didn't wait until he was finished with what he was doing or finished whatever might have been more pressing. He stopped. He paused. Not in a moment noticed by the masses, but in a blessed, intimate event, and returned hope to one whose society had probably already forgotten. And in that moment set for us one of the most sacred of examples that what we do in our walk of life is every bit as important as what we profess. Folks, there's a lot of resurrection in today's lectionary readings. There's a lot of resurrection in my mother's own story. And friends, there's a lot of resurrection all around us, taking place right now, if only we'll take the time to notice. Or better yet, pause, stop, and take the time to be a part. On that day that seemed so long ago, Jenny Bass didn't wait until she finished her lunch. She acted in the moment and not only made a sick old woman feel better, but I believe experienced a precious moment of God's grace herself. Moments that are rare only because we allow them to be. What if we could all imitate Christ in such a profound way? What if churches embraced those intimate moments as their mission? What if people were invited to come to church to tell what they already know of God through those blessed moments instead of coming to learn what they're supposed to believe? What if we blessed each other for what we are doing in the world instead of chastising each other for not doing more? What if church felt more like a way station instead of a destination? And what if the church's job were to move people out of the door instead of trying so hard to keep them in, by convincing each other that God needs them more in the world than behind these four walls? What if? Folks, there's no telling what would happen. Because there is a world out there full of somebodies who need you. Somebody you may know well or hardly at all. Somebody like a widow without hope in our gospel lesson. Or somebody's mother whose son couldn't get there as fast as he wanted. And when we are able to seize those moments and in small and wonderful ways make God's presence known to those around us, we and the world are just as transformed. And resurrection happens. And in doing so, the world, our world, is changed forever by the mysterious and the wondrous and grace-filled moments of God's surprises for us. And the truth is, it wouldn't hurt any of us to miss a few lunches from time to time. God love you. Amen.